Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest. Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Well, hello, my witchy poo. Ooh, how are you?
I got an extra ooh.
I know. There's only so many ways I can do that. Right?
My elf, thank you for my extra ooh. I'm doing great. How about you? Ooh.
I am doing so fabulous because we are finally, and I say finally, because it has taken forever to land in this space. It's taken us a damn year, actually, to come up with a genius idea for us to have a book club.
I know. Don't tell Simon and Schuster.
It's kind of holy crime. Shit, I know, right?
Kind
I
don't of want a crime.
It is a crime. I don't want them to disown the ghost photographer.
No. We love
shame.
We get
shame.
so much love on social about the ghost photographer. We really appreciate all that.
Oh, for so sure.
But today we're talking about other books.
Yeah. We're talking about other books. We're not talking about my damn book.
Your damn book for the damn book club.
Well, yeah, I'm calling it the damn book club. Yeah, I'm talking about a damn book club. And I think that we'll get the word damn a lot during this episode. And it's kind of damn because it took so long. I'm just, it's so frustrating. It's like, wait, it took a year to figure out that we needed a damn book club. And everybody get used to my voice because I think this is going to be heavy on the elf today.
Yay, magical
for
elf
this
time.
One. Yay for, yay for you. But I'm going to get a little academic. Literally, I'm going to get a little academic on this because what I wanted to start out with, because this is since our inaugural book club episode, is that I wanted to share with everybody what I would talk about with my students when I taught entertainment marketing at USC, the University of Southern California.
Name dropping, I like it, within the first couple minutes.
Pretty good, right? Professor Rieger.
I remember so many things about that time when you taught there, because we were talking a lot during then. But one of my, there's so many favorite stories I have coming out of there, mostly. Well, we'll talk about that another time. But
oh no, I know what it is. It's like fuck you, fuckers. I'm in charge. That is your most favorite thing about when I taught at USC.
You have to tell the story behind it now, just for a minute.
Well, because they kept trying to manipulate me. Because the last project was a group project, and they were trying to tell me who should be in the groups, and they were trying to negotiate with me. And I finally looked at them, and I said, "I'm picking this. Fuck you, fuckers. I'm in charge." And you have never
my
forgotten
elf's
that.
Negotiating tool.
Right. Fuck you fuckers is my negotiating tool.
Anyhow, it just cracks me up. But what I cracked up is just thinking about that time is that you like you called me, you're like, I have no idea where I parked.
I know, right? I never said I was a good professor. I could not remember the hell I parked. It's a big school.
It's a big parking lot for sure.
It is. It was multiple ones and that was my problem. But thanks for being a secret teller. I guess Neptune is in retrograde, so you have
there,
to
there you, go.
You have to out me on things.
It's coming out, baby.
But here's that's funny. But so here's some of the things that I would talk about in the first class, and I want to share it with everybody because it felt important for that. And the first thing that we would talk about was the hero's journey, which was written by a fella named Joseph Campbell, which we'll get into in just a minute. What, because I call him a fella?
A fella. He's like the iconic storyteller, right?
But he's a fella too.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, you know, and lo and behold, every semester I would have a student ask me, like, why I wanted to work in entertainment. And before I would answer them, I would, of course, ask them, well, why do you want to be in it? And, of course, their answers were lame because they were 21. Mine was not because I had worked in the industry and spent a lot of time living in these stories. And what I would tell them was that I believe that storytellers do for the soul what doctors do for the physical body.
Mm, so beautiful. So beautiful. So true.
Right. And it's so true. And I believe every word, letter, syllable of that statement. And so what we wanted to do was actually start sharing with y'all, y'all, a few books, well, over time, a lot of books that have actually healed our souls. And that's why I thought that was really important.
I couldn't agree more. I love that. Well said. You know, stories help us learn about ourselves and in many cases help us feel that, you know, and know down just so deep within us that we are not alone in our Earth School journey that can be so isolating and so overwhelming. And I really feel like at the best, we can build compassion for ourselves and for others. We have to build it for ourselves first because otherwise we don't have it to give away. And so when it can be unifying and we need more compassion on the planet right now. So I think this is a big benefit to storytelling.
I honestly, Bryn, couldn't agree more. I used to talk about at work as well, and not just in class, about, you know, stories were our windows and our doors, mm-hmm. you know, to the world. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't have stories, all we have are these four walls with no way to get out or look out and to be able to see or appreciate anything that is outside of ourselves.
And today, you know, during varying degrees of shutdown, it's even more true.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
So thank you for that. And I really couldn't agree any more with you than I do at this moment. But for those that might not be familiar with the work of our fella, Joseph, about in the hero's journey. I can't believe I'm going to call him a fella now because he's officially the fella.
It's going to make me laugh every time.
I know. So if you're not familiar with it, in short, it refers to a character venturing out into the world to get what they need. And by the way, it's the word they, not he, just P.S. Faces conflict and ultimately triumphs over adversary. Did I say that right? Adversary. It sounds weird. I'm sorry, folks. I'm talking to myself right now. So in 2007, there was a screenwriter named Christopher Vogler who refined Campbell's 1949 structure by creating 12 phases or steps. So I'm going to quickly take you through what these are just so you can understand, you know, what actually the construction of a great story is and know that not every step has to be met in great storytelling.
And I would also say, like, think of your favorite movie. Think of your favorite book, even a series, because even in a series, whether it's a 30-minute sitcom or a bigger, you know, longer episode, they will go through some version of this cycle.
Yes, they will.
Right. So be thinking of that as you go through.
Think of superhero movies. Think of the movie Rocky, The Lion King, Star Wars.
All
like
those.
These are some of the iconic films that have followed.
Yeah.
They're totally epic. Better word. Epic films that have really followed these 12 steps. So the first step is establishing an ordinary world, so understanding the status quo. So, for instance, actually, when I wrote my book, I had to start out with, you know, I'm kind of a nobody that works, you know, behind the scenes in Hollywood. I come from Oklahoma. Like, that's my ordinary world, right? The next one is this call to adventure.
In this, we happen to know you, and then we know there's nothing ordinary about it.
Yeah, well, that's true. And then there's the second is the call of adventure. So that's booting our hero out of their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So the Star Wars people, you know, that's Luke Skywalker, right? I mean, he's our hero. He gets booted out. I only watched it once in 1977. So that's as far as my knowledge goes is Luke Skywalker. But Rocky's a really great example for this to think through it. Because I remember on the third one was the refusal of the call. So the hero digs their feet in. And, you know, that's when Rocky's like, no, I don't want to fight. You know, so that's part of his hero's journey. And then, of course, meeting the mentor is the fourth, and that's, you know, can be like your personal trainer. And frankly, in my own personal hero's journey, you know, Brenda, you were my mentor.
Mm.
Mine was you.
The guide
so
on the side.
So you are definitely, a what?
The
guide on the
side.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And obviously for Rocky, you know, he found literally his personal trainer. So then we cross the first threshold. So the hero enters the world in earnest, you know, for Rocky starts to fight. We have test allies and enemies. These are new challenges. They also tend to get a team at this point in the storytelling. And then they, what is called approach the inmost cave. And what that means is that it's not a cave as in going into hiding. It's the inmost cave, which is the most dangerous spot in what we're calling the other realm. You know, I will say that for me, my inmost cave was when I learned about the Hat Man and started having to deal with some dark energies. I mean, that was probably the most dangerous zone that I had to conquer.
But this is where the Shiro, right? The Shiro gets tested that says, who are you going to be in this journey? Don't let this journey just take you. You define this journey.
Exactly.
That's what this step entails.
Exactly. And then we have the ordeal itself. Then we have the reward. You know, so this is where the hero sees the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, usually finding faith in themselves. But then what happens is they get pulled back in again, right? There's more dangers. So this is like dragging it out. It's like, we're going to make a hero's journey. So we're not only going to let them conquer once, we're going to make them go backwards and conquer twice. Yeah. And then there's the resurrection. So this is like always the last test. This is when Rocky was fighting Dolph Lundgren in Russia. I mean, this was like the major test for him after all the training. And what's interesting is that the last phase of the hero's journey is what's called a return with the elixir. So that's a triumphant homecoming. And it doesn't always mean that our hero is going to win, because if you remember in the Rockies, he lost a few of those fights. But what he found was the hero in himself.
Right.
And I think that is what so many of the books that we're going to talk about over the next year plus is going to be about people that have found it within themselves, found like they are a hero because they saved themselves.
And yes, he lost the fight. And sometimes we get fired. Sometimes we lose the job. Sometimes we lose the marriage for the sake of ourselves. Like that is the sacred journey, right?
I know for myself, through my own journey, I found myself.
Exactly.
I found myself. And that is the best triumphant elixir I could have ever found, because I have to live with myself. So it's pretty damn good I found who I was. This storytelling structure about the hero's journey isn't just about fiction. You know, it's not just about Rocky or The Lion King or Star Wars. And I'm sorry if those people believe that Star Wars is real. It's not. Because there is a group of people that think Avatar is real. I remember reading all the Twitter comments about, I was so bummed when I found out, you know, Avatar wasn't real. I'm like, oh my God, it was definitely their first life. So we want to focus on, you know, not just fiction. We actually want to focus on nonfiction. So we want to focus on people who've experienced things and they, you know, tell their tales to actually help us learn, you know. And I think our most beloved book, Bryn, I mean, you and I, it's
well, this is going to be a cliffhanger, because we're going to share our book when we come back from our break.
Cliffhanger, look at you.
We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Wendy Walsh, host of the podcast, Mating Matters. I believe nearly every human behavior is motivated by a desire for love, sex, or to hedge your reproductive odds.
I think women have this ability to plant these mental bombs into a man's mind.
But the thing about humor is that the value of humor, it goes up.
We're wired to reproduce.
To them, it was a super female. It was a giant female. And they were lured into trying to mate with it.
The science of love is fascinating.
It's a bizarre form of biohacking, really.
If you have the 7R plus gene, you are more likely to be involved in an affair, yes.
That's where some of the research gets really intriguing.
There's so many ways to be a human.
But I must say, sex between three people can get complicated.
In a nutshell, the Kinsey scale looked at two things: sexual fantasies and actual sexual behavior. Listen to Mating Matters on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Arielle Demeros, and I'm hosting a new podcast called Vice News Reports. With so much going on around the world, so many people telling you they have the definitive take on the news, we bring you to the news so you can hear it for yourself. From the newsroom that has earned more Emmy nominations than any other news team, this podcast goes where the story is, from conflict zones to the labyrinth of digital life. You've never traveled quite like this. Get the Vice News Reports podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back with the cliffhanger. Way to go, Bryn. So what is our undeniable favorite book in the whole wide world?
Wow, the top book for today, because you know, it's like Sophie's Choice for me. They're all.
Oh, good Lord.
But this one consistently at the very top is Many Lives, Many Masters by Dr. Brian Weiss.
Oh, So love this book.
Release and by the doves. Really?
Look at how theatrical you've become.
I know, as inspired by your talk.
You're so theatrical. So for those that might not be familiar with this book, the very quick summary, which is actually written on the cover, is the true story of a prominent psychiatrist, his young patient, and the past life therapy that changes both their lives.
Bam. That's the whole story. It's so beautiful.
Episode over. No, I'm just kidding.
It's so good. And when you are talking about that, the hero's journey or the shero's journey, this life that he devoted himself to was so based completely in science, complete devotion of his professionalism. And that was what was at risk when he began this journey that he didn't even know he was beginning. So like, talk about a reluctant call, right? The hero's call happened kind of sneaky.
Many of our heroes are reluctant heroes. Are some of the best stories ever are the reluctant heroes.
Without a doubt.
Iron Man. How many times have I brought up Iron Man?
I was actually surprised you didn't take us through with Iron Man, but that's awesome.
I actually thought that.
That's so good.
Because he did leave his comfort zone when he hypnotized his young patient.
That was his comfort zone. They hypnotized
him. It was. Yeah. But he left it when he hypnotized her, who was suffering from a load of anxiety. I mean, this poor thing had a list of aches in the world. But when he came out of that comfort zone is when she began to recreate the way she died in previous lives. And this happens over and over in the book. And each time the anxiety or the phobia subsides. So he gets out of that comfort zone because of this young patient.
Right. And he got out of his comfort zone following her in hypnotherapy. Right. Which was so great. So I just love all that. Because I don't think that he would have gone there any other way. Right. He was just being of service.
He couldn't have any other way.
Being of service. And that's how it showed up. It was so great. And of course, we do die in all kinds of traumatizing ways, you know, and they get carried through the nervous system into our current lives. So that happens, whether it's a very common way is people who are suffocated in all kinds of ways, whether it's underwater, whether someone's choked them, whether, you know, hanging, whatever it is. They can't stand turtlenecks. They can't stand anybody's, even crew necks. Like they can't, right? Exactly. So my elf's holding her hand up.
Raising my hand to that because that
pick
is
me. Pick me.
I died many times, I think, by asphyxiation.
Or decapitation. Like that, we can get really creative in how we do this. Right? But it's like, can't take turtlenecks, can't take crew necks, can't wear ties or scarves. Like this is just not happening in this lifetime.
And so for her, she had loads of different phobias that she was dealing with. But I think what's also, like, if you don't think this is enough for a psychiatrist to experience, if you don't think during hypnotizing his patient and she's recreating these and she's, you know, in detail, you know, in excruciating detail describing what these past lives were, he also encountered other tests, unexpected ones, things that showed up that I don't think that even somebody writing a fiction screenplay would have actually come up with. I mean, that's how crazy this real life experience was for him. And, you know, what are one of those other tests, Bryn?
Obviously, he had to say yes over and over in this. But his test was when the same young woman who was his patient began to channel not trauma from past lives, but she began to channel different masters. And he received these universal truths that he couldn't negotiate away as part of her experience in a past life. So it was a total surrender, questioning, resistant, this can't be happening. And it just kept happening over and over. And he couldn't deny them because they were truths, universal truths that he could feel in his nervous system that he knew to be true. And he had to surrender to it.
I have goosebumps.
I know. I'm so excited. We're so grateful to him.
I have goosebumps. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And you know, he, because it's absolutely one of my most favorite parts of the book is when the masters come into play. In fact, I'm going to read a little bit to everybody.
Please
here
do.
In just a second, since it is a book club.
This is such a gift to us. Thank you.
Because we love this part.
Yeah.
But, you know, her voice would change. Her demeanor would change. So he knew because
he knew it wasn't her.
Yeah. He knew it wasn't her. So I'm going
to
read.
And this is someone he was used to working with over and over.
Exactly.
It was very dramatic.
And I have my copy that was given to me by my friend, Bob Gruters. So this is, thank you, Bob. You changed my life. So it's page 62 for those following along. I ask if she had any thoughts about the lifetime that had just ended, her life as Christian. I should have been more forgiving, but I wasn't. I did not forgive the wrongs that people did to me, and I should have. I didn't forgive the wrongs. I held them inside, and I harbored them for many years. I see eyes, 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 I echoed, sensing the contact. What kind of eyes? The eyes of the master spirits, Catherine whispered. But I must wait. I have things to think about. Minutes passed in the tense silence. How will you know when they are ready? I asked, expectantly, breaking the long silence. They will call me, she answered. More minutes passed. Then suddenly, her head began to roll from side to side, and her voice, hoarse and firm, signaled the change. There are many souls in this dimension. I am not the only one. We must be patient. That is something I never learned either. There are many dimensions. I asked her whether she had been here before, whether she had reincarnated many times. I have been to different planes at different times. Each one is a level of higher consciousness. What plane we go to depends upon how far we've progressed. She was silent again. I asked her what lessons she had to learn in order to progress. She answered immediately, that we must share our knowledge with other people, that we all have abilities far beyond what we use. Some of us find this out sooner than others, that you should check your vices before you come to this point. If you do not, you carry them over with you to another life. Only we can rid ourselves of the bad habits that we accumulate when we are in physical state. The masters cannot do this for us. If you choose to fight and not rid yourself, then you will carry them over into another life. And only when you decide that you are strong enough to master the external problems, then you will no longer have them in your next life. We also must learn not to just go to those people whose vibrations are the same as ours. It is normal to feel drawn to somebody who is on the same level that you are, but this is wrong. You must also go to those people whose vibrations are wrong with yours. This is the importance in helping these people. We are given intuitive powers we should follow and not try to resist. Those who resist will meet with danger. We are not sent back from each plane with equal powers. Some of us possess powers greater than others because they have been accrued from other times. Thus, people are not all created equal, but eventually we will reach a point where we will all be equal. Boom. Right?
So inspiring.
I have a little bit more too. I hope you all don't mind. I have one more passage that I think was so incredible. And this is on page 163. Yes.
We're going to take another break.
We're
going to let that settle.
To the masters.
And we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Feeling lost?
Then we've got the podcast for you, Labyrinths.
I'm Amanda Knox.
And I'm Christopher Robinson.
I know what it's like to be absolutely stuck, to wind up in a life I never expected.
But everyone's got their own personal maze, complete with dead ends, shortcuts, and minotaurs.
So we're bringing you a podcast where you can get lost on a cruise ship, in the trauma of a mother's murder, in a presidential campaign, or in a corrupt court surrounded by ravenous media.
A podcast featuring unlikely obstacles, a terrorist husband, a shadowy cabal, a pregnant wife across the ocean.
So come on, get lost with us as we bring you stories from John Ronson,
LeVar Burton,
Yasmeen Muhammad,
Dave Navarro,
Andrew Yang,
Malcolm Gladwell, and others.
Expect dark and hilarious misadventures, controversial questions, and above all, expect to arrive at unexpected places.
Listen to Labyrinths on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Hillary Clinton, host of the new podcast, You and Me Both. There's a lot to be anxious and worried about right now, and it's made so much worse by the fact that we can't be together. So I find myself on the phone a lot, talking with friends, experts, really anyone who can help make some sense of these challenging times. These conversations have been a lifeline for me, and now I hope they will be for you too. Please listen to You and Me Both on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. We're playing and dancing and diving deeply with many lives, many masters in our first Insider's Guide Book Club. Damn book club.
It's our damn book club. And so in our damn book club, I just have a couple more paragraphs I want to read to folks because these, I reread this book, guys, for this episode because I love it so much. And so these are just, I think, some of the most powerful passages I could pick for y'all. So,
and I really hope that people will be inspired by what you're sharing to go, wait, I want more context around that. Wait, I want to understand, how did that jump in there? Like, so worth picking up.
It is. Read the book.
And you we do not get royalties on this, just so you know.
No. Okay, so on page 163, all of the wisdom revealed through these messages from souls in various dimensions of the spiritual state was consistent. The style of delivery differed. The phraseology and grammar differed. The sophistication of verse and vocabulary differed, but the content remained coherent. I was acquiring a systematic body of spiritual knowledge. This knowledge spoke of love and hope, faith and charity. It examined virtues and vices, debts owed to others and to oneself. It included past lifetimes and spiritual planes between lives. And it talked of the soul's progress through harmony and balance, love and wisdom, progress toward a mystical and ecstatic connection with God. There was much practical advice along the way, the value of patience and of waiting, the wisdom and the balance of nature, the eradication of fears, especially the fear of death, the need for learning about trust and forgiveness, the importance of learning not to judge others or to halt anyone's life, the accumulation and use of intuitive powers, and perhaps most of all, the unshakable knowledge that we are immortal. We are beyond life and death, beyond space and beyond time. We are the gods and they are us. So what I love so much about this is what he learned.
So beautiful. Thank you for reading that.
You are so welcome. What he learned is that he was the protagonist. It was his lesson.
He was transformed.
He was completely, because what I just read was what he wrote about the masters and what he learned from the masters. He learned that he was the protagonist. He was not a supporting actor.
That moment when we realize it's our story and we're not just participating or supporting someone else's story, because I'm sure his, you know, patient was completely transformed as well, you know, but he had his own transformation, and to really own that is everything.
And his hero journey continued.
Exactly.
Because he had a final test.
His final test in our hero's journey is that he had to show up to the industry, right? His profession, and claim his new standing, right? This psychiatric profession, he had to sacrifice his standing. And that must have been terrifying. As much as as much as it was crippling, right? It was crippling him because he couldn't come forward with this sacred message.
He was a scientist and he had to introduce metaphysics into it and saying it's not just science, folks.
It is science and, right?
Exactly.
Yes,
it's and.
Yes, it's both.
It's not
and.
Or.
It's both and. And. And also, like, yes, he had everything on the line, but he also knew, like, he couldn't not do it. He couldn't not do it.
Which is his, because I'm sure everyone's asking, because I'm sure they're all keeping score at home about the hero's journey. And they're like, well, what return with the elixir did he have? Well, his elixir is one that people still benefit from today, because he has a method and experience to help heal others. He realized, I think, more of what healing is through this experience. And so he, to this day, still helps people.
He's still doing group sessions, I don't know in pandemic world how that's happening, but up until then, he was doing huge group sessions, huge trance sessions where people were, you know, experiencing transformation and healing in multidimensional ways. You know, he was on the Oprah show back in the day, like multiple times.
I mean, if you're on Oprah, you've made it. It's kind of like when you have, you know, Mercury in retrograde is on a t-shirt, you know that you've made it. If you're on Oprah, you made it.
He definitely made it. It's very exciting. And like, just in what you just read, right? No fear, no anxiety, no fear of death, because there is no death. Like, this is, you know, this is such our home base, right? This is what we really want to invite people into.
So I remember you telling me that.
Yeah.
I remember when you asking me one day, you're like, well, what are you afraid of? I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'll die. And I said it like that, like an asshole. And you're like, so what? You'll be back. And I know I've said this before on another show, but I think it's worth bringing up again in the context of this book, because all of it happened for me around the same time. Didn't you have an experience when you first read this book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so back in the day. Yes, I think I picked this book up at a bookstore. Like I just was like,
You know, that's very old school of you.
It is. This is old school. I read it and I was sitting in my apartment in Dallas where I worked at the Procter & Gamble Customer Service Center.
I can't go down that path.
It's so real. And, you know, I'm sitting on my futon, you know, back in the, whatever it was, in the 90s.
I had one too.
And, you know, across the room is my, you know, component radio or stereo with all the different, you know, the radio, the turntable, the receiver, like it was all.
And it had its own cabinet, right?
Oh, no, I didn't have the fancy one.
Oh, I have my own cabinet.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I work for a consumer goods company, you know. It was not that big. But I'm sitting across the, you know, across this living room in my apartment, and I close this book, and, you know, my heart has just been completely blasted open, and I'm so blessed, and I'm so in love, and I just, you know, close my eyes, literally held the book to my heart and was like, I wonder if I could ever help people like this. Like, I wonder if I could ever help people know that it's everything's going to be okay and that it's all love. Like, that's what I held in my heart. And my eyes are closed as I'm saying this little prayer, and my component stereo that's 20 feet away from me lights up.
I would call that a hell yes. I would also call it a hell yes, because if you look ahead, you're going to see somebody who you have helped through this and the countless others that you have also helped through this. And I think this book, I think it is magical. And obviously, I think you're magical. There's no question about that. But I don't know a person who has read this book that has not been profoundly changed.
And just comforted beyond belief. Even if you know, fancy pants, spiritual person, you already know all this. Doesn't matter. Still healing. Still healing.
Well, and I don't even know if you know all of it, because I think, you know, or maybe you do. I'm not fancy pants by any means. I mean, I wear Old Navy t-shirts, V-neck every single day, and they're all white. So, like, there's nothing fancy about me. And I buy them on sale. I don't know if people know things about your bad habits, right? Mm-hmm. Addictions, things like that. You know, that is something that I looked at. I'm like, oh, damn, you carry them with you. Mm-hmm. That sucks. And it makes you think about those things, right? Like, you thinking about it. I think this book makes you far more conscious of every moment of who you are.
Just far more conscious.
Right? Just far more conscious.
Yeah.
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 So we encourage everybody, if you're a reader, you know, read. If you're, I'm sure there's Audible version. I just gave you a part Audible version. Maybe I'll just do my own Audible version.
Nice.
I'll just do chapter by chapter Audible for everybody and release it. I'm sure that the publisher would be real happy about that. I think it's against the law. I just want to encourage everybody, because it is very much life-changing. And if you're, you know, inclined, you know, reach out to us and let us know what was the most impactful part for you.
It's such a blessing. I hope you'll give yourself this gift and pick up this book. My elf, I think we did our first damn book club.
We did our first episode of our damn book club. Congratulations to us.
Yay. We hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. And remember, school is hard.
Without a damn book club. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. And a special thanks to our producer, Maya Cole, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at OtherSideGuides, or shoot us a note at OtherSideGuides@iHeartRadio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think, we want to know what you know, and we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.